Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LinuxQuestions.org podcast. There's been a little more time in between this podcast and the last podcast than I would have liked, but unfortunately, for most of the beginning of this week, I didn't have a voice at all, and as you could probably tell, I don't completely have it back yet. I'm still a little sick, but the show must go on. I didn't want to delay this too much longer. Moving right into LQ news, I am happy to announce that LQRadio.org is ready to go public beta, and this is the first public announcement now here on this podcast. We're breaking it. So if you go to LQRadio.org now, it is up. As you can tell, it's not quite done. Like I said, it is still beta, but we are looking for your feedback. The one thing you might notice right away if you go there is that the logo is not yet done. It's almost there, and I would anticipate that it be up hopefully by Monday of next week. I should have that. I would like any feedback you have on the layout design, what we're missing, etc. And we should have the first show for you ready fairly soon now. Moving on, as you are hopefully by now aware, I do have a column in Linux Magazine entitled Tech Support. They are gracious enough to, a couple months after they're in the magazine, let me post them to Linux Questions, and the latest one has just been put up a couple days ago. This one, entitled Peeking In at Linux, is a two-part article. The first part is a follow-up to the previous month's article, which was on cacti, and it's kind of after you found a problem with cacti, I'll show you how to track it down with vmstat. And the second part of the article shows you how to install TrueType fonts in Linux using a more traditional way that'll work pretty much across any distro. I know, unfortunately, due to space constraints, we had to pull out some of the stuff showing you kind of the easier GUI way. For instance, in GNOME, you can just type fonts into Nautilus and drag them right into that window. But that, unfortunately, didn't. The article has to fit on a page, and that didn't make the cut. So go on over. If you go to Linux Answers, one of the categories is Jeremy's Magazine's article, and check those out. As always, I am looking for articles, subjects, and topics that you'd like to hear about. So if you have something in mind, let me know. Next story, LinuxQuestions.org was featured in Linux World Magazine. Kind of interesting, the author of the article, Mike, had asked me a few questions a while back, really so far back that I had kind of slipped my mind. And when he asked me the questions, I kind of thought it was just a general article about answering and questions in forums and kind of how to get help. And as it turns out, excuse me, the article was much more focused on LQ than I had thought. In fact, the title of the article is LinuxQuestions.org, Help is a Question Away. And it's great to see Linux Questions continue to get exposure in you know, mainstream magazines and NewsForge and a lot of the exposure that it's been getting lately. Also, don't forget to vote in the 2004 LinuxQuestions.org Members' Choice Awards. There are some extremely close races going on in all 24 different categories. If you haven't placed your vote yet, please do so. Voting will be open until February 3rd, and as previously stated, awards will be available for pickup for all winners at the Linux World Expo in Boston. This news not 100% finalized yet, but close enough that I'll give you a sneak peek on the podcast, and hopefully by the time you're hearing this, you'll be able to read it in the forums. But tentatively, Ubuntu has decided to participate in a forum at LQ, joining about 21 other distributions. So welcome to them, and glad they decided to participate. And like I said, hopefully that forum will be set up by the time you're hearing this. One thing that I had posted to my blog a couple days ago was that I downloaded Bash Potter finally, and I'm getting into podcasts a little more myself. And I want to know, what podcast do you, besides this one, of course, do you guys listen to? I gave a list if you are interested in what I'm listening to on the blog. But I'm still looking for feedback on that. So feel free to either post your answer there, or if you want to go ahead and send me an audio comment, that'd be great. Since I had a couple general news stories ready for today, but my voice is kind of giving out already, so I'm only going to go ahead and cover one. The one I'll cover is IBM to give free access to 500 patents. This is a story that was in the New York Times, and I'll just read a little snippet of that. IBM will continue to hold the 500 patents, but it has pledged to seek no royalties from and to place no restrictions on companies, groups, or individuals who use them in open source projects, as defined by the Open Source Initiative, a nonprofit education and advocacy group. The group's definition involves a series of policies allowing for free redistribution, publication, and of the underlying source code, and no restrictions on who's used the software or how it is used. Reactions to this story have been extremely mixed. I've seen some people on the one side kind of giving kudos to IBM, which, you know, rightfully so. The one reason I like to see it is hopefully with IBM by far being the leader in number of patents applied for each year, if they do this, hopefully some other companies will follow suit and do the same, which I think, in generally speaking sense, would be a win. The other kind of the people against this, which I think the nosoftwarepatents.com, which is led by some very big names, as I've covered that on the podcast before, they made the point that they're still they still register for thousands of patents a year. So why are they giving some away while continuing to register for so many? And even more importantly, why are they continuing to be a driving force behind the extension of the scope of patentability with respect to software in Europe? So if they really were, against patents, why would they be pushing to strengthen them in Europe, which is a place where they're nowhere near as strong as they currently are here in the U.S.? So definitely a story that sparks some debate, and I can honestly say I see both sides on this one, but the nosoftwarepatent.com article, which I linked to from my blog post, really does raise some good points. So I'm going to call it quits there for tonight, but thanks for listening.